You know what's wild? Jesus literally flipped tables in the temple, called out religious leaders to their faces. He touched lepers when it was social suicide. He defended a woman about to be stoned by a mob. And somehow, 2,000 years later, we have a version of Christianity that is so watered down, so desperate to be liked, so terrified of offense that it wouldn't recognize the Jesus of the Bible if he showed up at their potluck. We have traded conviction for comfort. We've swapped truth for tolerance. And the result now is a generation of Christians who whisper their beliefs in private, but go silent the moment that our culture, society raises an eyebrow. If you have ever felt that sick feeling in your gut when you see another Christian influencer backpedal on what the Bible clearly says about life or gender or morality, this episode is for you. Listen, I am Brandon Lynette, the host of this Listen Bitch podcast, and I coach women with neurospicy brains to take massive responsibility for creating their future with God by stepping into their full potential. Okay? Not the bullshit people-pleasing version of potential, but the kind that actually costs you something, the kind that requires you to stand firm even when your hands are shaking. And before we get deep into this mess, I just want to put out a call here. I am looking for sponsors who aren't afraid to stand with me. If you have a brand or products that you promote that can align with core biblical values, the sanctity of life, the truth about gender, the importance of law and order, and you're not going to fold the second someone posts an angry tweet or calls you names, let's talk, because I want to partner with people that are going to speak to my audience, that have a backbone, that are going to stand behind what they do. So the church is producing cowards. And I'm not talking about the people who don't go to church. I'm talking about the ones who claim to follow Jesus on Instagram, who post like their pretty aesthetic Bible verse graphics, who talk about being led by the Spirit, but the second that the culture pushes back, they vanish, they delete, they clarify, they apologize for believing what scripture has said for thousands of years. And here's the thing, this isn't just disappointing, it is dangerous. Because when you have, listen, if you have a neurospicy brain like a lot of us do, you're already fighting a war in your head every single day. You're already battling the noise, the overthinking, the constant questioning of whether you're too much or not enough. And when the very people who are supposed to model courage, who are supposed to show you what it looks like to stand firm in truth, when they crumble under pressure, it doesn't just shake your faith in them, it shakes your faith in yourself. So, you're just scrolling on Instagram and you see a post from a Christian influencer that you have followed for years. Okay. She is talking about kindness. She's talking about love and grace and all good things, right? Except she's using those words to excuse her silence on abortion. She's using grace as a cover for refusing to say that killing babies is wrong. Or maybe it's a pastor, someone with a massive platform who posts a long-winded thread about how we need to listen more and hold space for people who are confused about their gender. When, sure, listening is important, but when that's all you do, when you never actually get around to saying, hey, God designed you male or female, and that's not hate, that is truth. You're not being compassionate. You're being a coward. And for those of us with any sort of neurodivergence, this is where it gets really tricky because our brains are wired to pick up on the incongruence. Like we could smell fake bullshit from a mile away. We notice when someone's words don't match their actions, and we feel the tension when someone says they believe the Bible, but they live like they believe what's happening in our current culture more. And that tension, it doesn't just stay out of their digital world. It seeps into your real life. It shows up when you're at a family dinner and someone makes a comment about how love is love. And you feel your throat tighten because you know what you believe But you have watched so many Christians back down that you're not sure if you're allowed to speak up. And it shows up when you're at work and a coworker casually mentions their pronouns and you freeze because you don't want to be rude, but you also don't want to participate in a lie. It shows up when you're trying to raise your kids to know the truth in a world that's constantly telling them that the truth is whatever they feel, and you look around for backup, for a church, a leader, a community that's going to stand with you, and you find a whole lot of silence. And if you've got a brain that already struggles with that executive function, that already has a hard time making decisions under pressure, that already second guesses every single word before it leaves your mouth, this is crushing. Because now you're not just fighting your own brain, you're fighting the fact that people who are supposed to have your back are MIA. And this is where it really flares up the most, in the moments of confrontation, not the big dramatic kind, like those happen too, okay? But the everyday kind, the moment when your kid asks why their teacher said there are more than two genders, or the moment when a friend text you asking if you saw that post about the new gender affirming care clinic opening up and what do you think? Okay. The moment you're filling out a form and it asks for your pronouns and you have to decide if you're going to comply or push back, these are the moments when courage is built or cowardice is reinforced. And if you've spent years watching these Christians fold under pressure, you've internalized this script that says maybe it's not worth it. Maybe I should just stay quiet. This silence has become complicity. We have contributed to the chaos in the world today because we're thinking maybe I'm just making too big of a deal out of this. Here's the thing: Jesus didn't die so you could stay quiet. He didn't pay the price for your silence. He called you to be a light, and light does not apologize for shining. And this matters so much with my neurodivergent people. You are already dealing with a heightened sense of justice. Like, we feel things deeply, big feelings, okay? And you notice the inconsistencies that other people gloss over. You care about fairness and truth and integrity in a way that can be exhausting because the world doesn't always reward that. And when you're wired this way, watching people, especially Christians, compromise on core values isn't just frustrating, it's destabilizing. Because if they can't stand firm on something as clear as don't fucking kill babies, like, how are you supposed to trust them on anything else? And if they won't even say that men and women are different, how are you supposed to believe they'll have your back when the pressure's really on? And here's the kicker: that instability doesn't just live in your head. It's going to affect your ability to show up. It affects your confidence. It affects your willingness to take risks, to put yourself out there, and to step into the potential that God has for you. Because if you don't believe that anyone will stand with you, why would you step out at all? So, what do we do about this? Listen, bitch, first, you have to get crystal clear on what you actually believe and why, not what your favorite influencer believes, okay? Those people are bullshit, full of shit, bought and paid for. Okay, and I've seen that in the Christian community that I follow, and I've seen that in the political side that I follow. Everybody, like, these are not your heroes. You have to get down to the core part of what your beliefs are, not what's trending, in the Christian circles. What does the Bible say? What has God revealed about life and gender and morality and truth? And once you know that, once you've done the work of anchoring yourself in scripture and the character of who Jesus is, you have to make a decision. Am I going to stand on this or am I going to bend? Because here's the reality: culture is not going to get easier. It's a shit show out there, and the pressure is not going to let up. If anything, it's just going to keep getting worse. I mean, that's biblical, right? If you don't decide now what you're willing to lose for the sake of truth, you're going to fold when the moment comes. And I'm not saying that you have to be loud or obnoxious, okay? I'm not saying you have to pick fights, but I am saying that silence in the face of evil is complicity. And you have been given a voice, a platform, whether it's just a social media following, a job, a family, or a circle of friends, you have a responsibility to use it. Second, you have to stop waiting for permission from other Christians to stand firm. And this is huge if your brain is wired like mine, because we look for external validation. We can't help it. We want to know that what we're doing is right. We want to see someone else go first so that we know it's safe. Here's the truth, you guys. The church is full of cowards right now. And if you're waiting for them to lead, you're going to be waiting forever. You have to be willing to go first. You have to be willing to be the weirdo. You have to be willing to lose followers, lose friends, lose opportunities, because the alternative is losing yourself. And more importantly, the alternative is failing to live out the calling that Jesus put on your life. And he did not call you to be safe. He wasn't like, oh, Patty, just stay comfortable. Listen, bitch, he called you to be faithful. And you need to build a community of people that won't back down. And that's why I'm grateful for my listeners and my new crowd on Facebook. When I, what do we call it, came out politically, I've had the same core ethics and values my whole life. And I guess actually saying it out loud stirred the pot. I had hate messages. I was called every name in the book that you could possibly imagine. People unfollowed me, threatened to hurt my family. It was a lot of ridiculous bullshit. Okay. I rebuilt the community. And it doesn't mean like I haven't had to cut off everyone who disagrees with me, right? But it does mean that you need to stop looking for courage from people who've already proven that they don't have it. Find the people that are like you who aren't afraid to say hard things. Find the women who are going to stand with you when you're shaking, but you know you have to speak. Find the leaders who haven't sold out. There are a few, there's a few out there. The ones who haven't compromised, who are more afraid of disappointing God than disappointing the culture. And if you can't find them in your immediate circle, find them online, find them in books, find them in podcasts, wherever you need to go to surround yourself with a voice or voices that will strengthen you instead of weaken you. Okay. And the next time you're faced with a moment where you know you should speak up, but you're scared, I want you just to pause, take a breath, and ask yourself this question: am I more afraid of man or God? Because fear is always going to be there. And the question is which fear you're going to let win. And if you let the fear of man win, you're going to stay silent and you're going to nod along and you're going to go with the flow and you'll walk away feeling sick to your stomach because you know you just chose comfort over conviction. But if you let the fear of God win, the reverence, the awe, the understanding that he sees you and he's the one you'll answer to, you'll find the courage to open your mouth. And it's not going to be eloquent, you guys. Never once have I ever talked about this where someone's going to be like, wow, she's so eloquently spoken. No, it's shaky and I have big feelings and I'm abrasive. But what I say is fucking true. And that is what matters. And I get it. I get it. Our brains are running a million miles a minute. We're catastrophizing every possible outcome. And the idea of speaking up, I mean, sometimes feels impossible. But this is what I've learned. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the decision to act in spite of it. And every single time that you choose to speak the truth, even when your voice is shaky, like I've had butterflies since I pressed record on here, not only because I'm live streaming on YouTube, but because I'm about to put this out for, 1,000 people to hear today. It's intimidating, okay? The fear is there, but the courageous thing to do is to record and I don't know how this is going to land. I'm just building muscle every time I talk about this stuff. And you're doing the same thing. You're training your brain to know that you can do hard and scary things. You're proving to yourself that you're not a coward. And over time, I promise it does get easier. And it's not because the stakes get lower, it's because you get stronger. Jesus did not call us to be cowards. He called us to be witnesses. He called us to be light in darkness. And right now, that darkness out there is thick. It is thick. I'm sick to my stomach. I told my husband I'm off social media for like the next 2 weeks because I see the images of all the bullshit from Epstein Island. And here's the thing, that stuff's still happening. It's not like they shut down the island and this stuff stopped. So when I see a baby that's about to be eaten in between two raw chickens. Okay. You just can't get that stuff out of your head. It's ugly out there. Babies are being tortured and killed and abused and then we've got abortion, right? Like that's the sacrifice for the devil, but we're calling it health care. Right now, children are being told they can change their gender and it's being called compassion. Right now, law and order are being dismantled and it's being called progress. And the church, the very people who are supposed to stand against this, are either silent or worse, cheering it on. And you don't have to be one of them. You don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to wait for permission to stand on truth. Jesus already gave you that permission when he called you. So listen, bitch, if this episode knocked the wind out of you or made you feel some kind of way, good. Love it or hate it, do me a favor. Like the show, subscribe the show so you don't miss an episode, and leave a written review. This is how you can help me help other people find the show, the message. And if you want to go deeper, if you want resources, coaching, a community, please go to my website, brandonlinette.com, and sign up for all things truth and courage, and stepping into your God-given potential. I actually have an email going out today. If you are interested in getting into the Bible and reading it, I have a schedule. I post a new one every month. I'm sending out February's. I know I'm a day late. It's okay. But yes, I'm sending out the schedule the entire month of January, the reading schedule that I'm on. So please get into that. Get into my Bible study for a badass group on Facebook, because I definitely want people, I want to have conversations with what I read. Every day I read something, and this is my third go around in the Bible. And every time I read, every day, like, I see something new, and I see a different perspective. And more than anything, I see how loved we are. I see how everything in this world was orchestrated so you could be here, so you could step into your potential. We want this human experience. We wanted to be here. We knew we could come here, and we knew that it was going to be a shit show, and we knew that we were going to be swimming upstream, okay? We knew that, and we knew we could remember who the fuck we were. And that's all I want to help you do, to step into your potential, to use your voice in whatever method works best for you. That's it for Listen Bitch today. I love you guys. I'll see you on the next one.